top each other. Yeah, I'm empty.
Yeah, I meant I'm full, like still full of duty.
And your sense of service and purpose, right?
Yeah, I am. Very full of myself.
I was like, I don't know what I ate yesterday, but sometimes it's like, sometimes I just make like a pile.
I love the word make, for bathroom terminology. It's like the most, it's the earliest childhood word I can think of. It's like I
Well,
have to.
yeah, I have to make, and it's like, I remember this kid in like he walked up to the teacher that was calling out the bus numbers in elementary school at the end of the day, and he's like, I have to make, and she like into the mic goes, make what? And he completely was outed, and she's right, like, make what?
I love that.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
I think it's really poetic, honestly. It's like I have to create.
Right, it's like it's open-ended, you know?
Yeah. I think it's going to be the title of my autobiography, is I have to make.
I have to make. Yeah, what are you gonna make these days, you fuck?
That's exactly the point. That's why it'll be the title. I have a drive to make something, but what it is, I don't know. But every morning it comes out shit.
Right. Every morning it's just fucking feces.
Just a pile.
A pile. Yeah, I made a pile. That's how I know. My body's just like, I can't even make shapes out of this. It's just refuse. It's debris.
Debbie Friedman.
Yeah. And when you are you have you been writing?
No,
Like, I
no.
also have feel like I need to make something. That's why we're
Yeah, I
just
know.
default doing this dumbass fucking pie, just recording conversations with each other.
This podcast is a pile.
It's a pile of stuff that we make.
It's not formed, it's not together, it's not fibrous. It's just what we make first thing in the morning.
That is exactly what it is. Jesus. Well,
Have to make is a beautiful metaphor.
I was going to say, we know the title of this week's episode.
How has your week been?
Oh God. See, now you're doing the podcast. It was so
Well,
fucking organic before.
we inorganically talked about coming prepared this time, and I did not. And
Well,
so I thought I'd start.
I have two topics that I can't prepare, but I did want to, like, you're, I also feel like I have to make something in my life. Like, I don't know what that is. Is that because we are saturated in a world of content creators where, like, you
Yes.
feel like you have a unique voice that you need to offer and convey?
I don't know how much of it is like our cultural conditioning. Excuse me. How much of it is our cultural
Ugh,
conditioning?
he's getting ready to be, it's coming out. You're unevacuated, so it's like trying to get out in any direction that it can, huh?
Was going to comment on our culture.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how much of it is cultural conditioning from like what you're saying, like influencers and just content creators, and how much of it is like older than that, how much of it is like the human condition, so to speak, of just like we're born and then we're supposed to do something and then die.
Right, and it's like your vocation and like all your relationships don't count as anything. Like, you need to make something that's like potentially consumable by the masses and can make you like rich.
Right. And I don't have any relationships, so I got to make something material.
Yeah, well,
You're
you
my
bring up
only
your mom on
relationship.
every podcast.
I love my mommy.
God,
I
it's
really
awesome.
do.
Yeah, I like mine too.
I used to not. I mean, I did deep down, but like, didn't appreciate her. Now I'm in an era of like, wow, this is spectacular. Other people don't have a mom like this.
What do you think changed? Because you started like seeing the women that you were dating, and you're like, damn, they're bad.
Yeah, actually, it was a combination of that and seeing my mom through the women that I'm dating through their eyes. They're like, oh, my mom calls me fat and awful and has since I was born. And I'm like, oh, my mom has been my number one cheerleader throughout life, no matter what.
She loves you even though you are fat and awful.
Yeah, I tell her all the time. I'm just like, oh, I'm full of make.
I'm full of make.
And she's like, oh, Josh, that's beautiful.
Right. Right. You make a pile of shit and she thinks it's a fucking brilliant.
Actually, I think
Brilliant.
we already talked about this on the first episode, but the one thing my mom is not proud of is when my family talks about shit too much.
Yep. We did talk about it.
So she'll love these episodes.
Oh yeah. Well, the other th yeah. Anyway, I don't want to revisit last week's con or other content,
Well, now
Josh.
you're doing it.
I
Inorganic.
know. I know. Inorganic. Well, I do have some topics.
Go
But I'm
ahead.
curious about still your thing that you have to make. Like you do fancy yourself a writer.
No, that would kill me inside because I don't write.
Well, the only thing that you need to start doing is write.
Right. If I ever did that, I would immediately call myself a writer. But that hasn't happened in 36 years.
It's
So,
really hard, kind
yeah.
of, to stick with it.
You know, I remember when I was in my freshman year of college, I was straddling a degree in English literature and a degree in psychology, and I went home for Thanksgiving, and my uncle, who's a psychiatrist and a real piece of shit, he's just not a nice guy, but he's like very brilliant. He was like, "What are you studying?" And I was like, "I just picked one because I didn't want to say psychology because I knew he'd shit on it." So instead, I was like English literature. And he was like, "What are you gonna do with that?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I picked the wrong one. He's gonna shit on this." And I remember I told him the truth, which was also a mistake, but I told him I want to write the great American novel. And he was just like, "Okay." And that
Right.
was it. I have not written. I think that was a significant barrier for me, where to this day I'm just like, I can hear that chuckle in my head if I'm to sit down and write, and I'm just like, who are we kidding?
You think that crushed your dreams? That,
Not him exclusively, but I
but
like the
just
glamour.
reactions like that, or fear of more reactions like that.
Yeah.
How do you even write the great American novel? Does anybody even write that anymore?
Philip Roth, not anymore, but he wrote a book called The Great American Novel. I think I had just read it in college and was like, I want to write exactly like that.
Right. Yeah, Jesus. 19-year-old English fucking student, Josh Goldstein. I mean, Josh, sorry.
Jesus Christ, now people are gonna find me.
Yeah. Well, Josh, yeah, go ahead.
The only thing I'm not doing is writing. Do you write? You could also be a writer.
Yeah, I have this. I'm such a loser, and I have such negative self-talk, and you're hearing it now. I have,
That
yeah, that's all I wanted to share. That's my pile of shit that I just made.
it?
I have a blog. The website is maxfinder.org, and I for a while, I not in a while, like a few months this year, I was like trying to write on it every day and I just failed. But it's like I was trying to write like 10, 15 minutes and just crank out a post on whatever I was thinking about, which was a really good practice because writing is kind of hard and it's hard to be succinct. Like there's this great, like I was like learning, like practicing being succinct and not using filler words and all of these other things. So that was good. But it's like I vacillate between feeling fucking dumb. It's like, who am I creating this content for? If it's not for myself, then it feels dumb. So
And if it's
like,
only for myself, who will be for me?
do you know what it, keep say the real quote.
Know, I butcher it every time, probably.
Who even says it?
Debbie Friedman.
Yeah. I did
These
come.
jokes are very funny to three of our friends.
To three, and the not even the cool friends, that joke,
No,
like the Jew, the
private
nerd.
Jewish school educated friends.
Yeah. Well, one of my pieces of topic that I brought to this one was to say how bad poppy seed hamantaschen are.
Oh, interesting.
You like them?
Are you talking about as a filling, like it's just poppy seed?
Oh, I meant as a filler for this podcast. Yeah, poppy seed. Yeah.
I didn't know people. I've seen poppy seed garnished,
No,
hamantaschen. Like
bro.
it's mixed in to the
With
dough.
what? With no. Oh, no, it's a filling. It's the
That's
oldest
terrible.
and worst filling.
Why is poppy seed so old like that? It's not like it has a flavor. My family has a recipe for another kind of cookie that they call mung cookies. Terrible name. And it's just a poppy seed cookie. And the old people in my family are like, oh, give me the mung cookie recipe. And
Yeah.
it's like,
It's like
why?
before a time when anyone had anything good to eat.
Do you think it was exotic? Because poppies don't grow in Eastern Europe.
That true? You have no idea.
Poppies, man, like opium. It grows in like Afghanistan and Israel.
Right. Who knows? I don't fucking know. I just wanted to talk about how bad they were.
How many different kinds of hamantaschens did you get to eat? I had
I had a
zero.
few. You had zero over in Alaska. They don't fucking mail them to you. Two different people mailed me hamantaschen, actually.
That's really sweet. Oh, shalach manot.
Mishloach manot. Yeah, very good.
For our listeners.
$150,000 down the drain. $300,000 down the drain for your Jewish education.
Wait, Mishloach or Shalach?
Mishloach.
Christ.
Exactly. Jesus Christ. So I came prepared with that one and with this show, a reality TV show that I watched. I
Oh,
don't know what
yeah.
it's called, but it's absurd. It's a naked dating show, and
Yes.
the part, you know about this?
Yeah. I forget what it's called, though.
Have you
Naked
seen it?
Attraction?
Yeah, Naked Attraction. Yeah.
Yeah, one of our mutual friends who lives in a hippie commune house in the suburbs of Philadelphia
Told you about it. That sounds
told
about
me
right.
about that years ago, back when it was just a European thing. And they're like, you gotta see this. And I watched an episode with them, and it was so entertaining at the time because it was so shocking.
They start with the dick. Like they start with.
I know they start with uncut British dicks, which are
Right.
just as crooked as British teeth.
It's funny. Yeah, it's funny how most of them are uncircumcised.
Yeah.
And like the person I watched it with was grossed out by it, you know?
Oh yeah. Well, did you watch it with a lady?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
But
essentially a show that opens with dick picking.
right. And then they do the chest and then they do the face. It's really absurd. And then the person who's making the pick has to like comes out also naked at the end. And then they show them all with clothes on. And that's like the end. It's
Oh,
pretty bizarre.
I never watched till the end because I always came early. But
Ugh.
didn't they,
Oh,
don't they go on a date?
pile of shit.
Don't they go on a date?
Yeah, they go on a date clothed.
And I don't know why I have this in my head. I don't think I watched the dates, but aren't they always bad?
I don't know. My brain like shuts off almost immediately. The thing that I took away from it though is that like it really actually made me feel more comfortable with my body and like be more open about nudity. Which I found to be liberating. I don't know, you've done some nude naked bike rides and you spent time
Oh
in like
yeah.
you've done that. I haven't. I've actually had this like fantasy to sit for a art class, like they'll take any new models. I think they're very hard to come by, actually. And
You'd
so
be great to paint.
oh, thank you, Joshy.
I
But
mean that.
I appreciate it. It felt sincere, actually. I would, it's been a dream. I just like, as like, in a sense of just being confident with my body or whatever, you know what I mean? To do that.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted to do that, to just be naked in a room filled with 30 people for like 2 hours. But I hear that it's very hard to hold the poses.
Yeah, you'd want to like stretch and do some yoga before because you'd stiffen up.
Oh,
And you
very
don't want to
good.
stiffen up during those because then they'll kick you out of the room.
Right. Yeah,
Hey.
that's a macro aggression these days, you know? Yeah, so I've
I think I've had fights with two, at least two, but maybe three different partners in life when I was younger about I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to pose nude for somebody.
you really, it's been on the
Yeah.
table that many times for you, for somebody else.
I distinctly remember two, and I'm
You
thinking
didn't want them to do it.
that's right. It was when I was in college. I was very insecure in the relationship. I was like, this person's gonna leave me. And I ended up leaving them, which is how it goes. But I remember they were like, yeah, I'm curious about doing this. Like, we're in college, there are art courses. I think I want to do this. And I was like, how hot are the people who are in this class? Like, who's looking at you?
Right.
And didn't go over well. I think they did it though.
But you yourself have done a naked bike ride.
Thanks for reminding me of that, man. I like that fell off my memory list.
The Philly
Yeah.
one, right?
I did the Philly naked bike ride in God knows what, 2011 or 12 or something. And it was a blast. It was so fun.
That's what I think. I feel like it's something that's really helps you accept your body for whatever it is and, you know, feel
Well,
less judgmental of yourself. That's
I
what the
agree,
show
but
helped me do.
I think it's very different in experience from being alone, posing, surrounded by people looking at you, drawing you.
Right.
Naked bike ride was like 6,000 fat naked people
It's Philly.
biking around. It was amazing. It was the most freeing thing because it was just like Burning Man. It was like, this is okay. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Except for all of Philadelphia who are like filming it, and I'm probably on a YouTube video.
We'll try to link to it in the show notes.
but yeah, that was very fun. But it was because it was that anonymous, freeing vibe. I think
Well, and
that,
everybody's
yeah, everybody's doing it. I think that the other end of the spectrum is being the center of attention naked in a room. You're the only naked person.
right. Yeah, that one definitely zooms in. But I think the point also is that nobody cares. Nobody cares how big your dick is or how many rolls of fat. It's like, especially in the artists are looking, they're like, it could look however, and they don't care. That's like they're practicing their craft and just trying to
That's
capture your human. I mean, we all look somewhat different and have flaws and da, 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 da. I don't know. It's like an interesting healing thing,
yeah,
I think.
I think you're right. I think when you desexualize a body,
Right.
you humanize that person more.
Right.
And that's the power of it. I actually have a friend here in Alaska who has done some. I have two friends who have done photography out in nature naked, and their intention was specifically, or they were the subject of the photography, and they're like naked by glaciers or naked in the rainforest, and their intention is to desexualize the body and just show like this is what natural beauty is.
Right.
Ironically, I liked those pictures on their Instagram because they're hot naked women.
Right, you're still not getting with the
No, I'm
program
not with
there.
it.
Right.
Ruining the whole project. That
Yeah. Well, that's what I came prepared with, you fuck. What do you got?
was pretty good.
I got actually one more thing even.
Yeah, go ahead, because what I had is like scrounging, and you're not gonna like it.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, maybe.
No, you go first. I'll change the tone of this whole thing.
Well, relationships are hard. And
That's better.
is it?
Yeah.
The only thing that I learned this week about that, not that I learned this week about it, but it's just like, I will say that I have anxiety. And so I have a habit when somebody in my life is like upset or making or like is fucked up and like they themselves are agitated or in like a distressed place, my anxious brain goes, well, this person is always like this.
Yeah.
And my time with them is always going to be like this. And this is how it'll be for the next 40 years. And so it's such a funny thing that my brain does. And I've like started to at least notice and be aware of it and even try to like communicate with that feeling or that thought. Of like, actually, most of the time, this person isn't like this. And when things are good, you're not thinking in your head, this person is always like this. Good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
I know exactly what you mean, Max. This hits home. I've had this with partners to the point where this happened once somewhat recently in life where I broke up with somebody and I was like, it's because you're always like this.
Right.
And they said accurately, I think that you've developed a core belief about me that's not necessarily reality. And I didn't believe them at the time, and then later was like, yeah, I did that. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah, and like maybe they're like that and it sucks when they're like that and they're like, but and they like don't want to try to like improve that. When they're like that, they don't want to try to improve how they behave there. But if they want to improve how they behave there, I don't know. It's like not something that you can, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to realize that that is like my anxiety being like, it's always like this. And it's like
That's
so not
beautiful.
true. Yeah.
That's beautiful, Max. I several times in the last year or two, I've thought to myself, like, your therapist did well with you. Like, they did good work. You also are doing the good work, but
I'm not in therapy anymore.
I
Are
know. I think
you?
that kinda. I like am re-engaging with it after several months off.
Don't you have to be for work or no?
I don't have to be, but it sure role models that it's like destigmatized and. It's just role models care, like
Yeah.
self-care and all that.
I've been
But
thinking. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
it reminds me that anxiety spot in a relationship reminds me of being in a bad trip where like you feel like, is this gonna last forever? And
Oh yeah.
there's a feeling of dread, and it's like, turn it off. Like I would do anything in this moment to turn it off. And it can be really intense too, and it can be prolonged.
Right.
But you
It's
can just
you
like
feel trapped.
And you breathe through it, and then all of a sudden you're giggling, you're fingering the wallpaper, everything's better.
Right. Yeah, you just have to realize that it's not forever.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's funny that your brain doesn't when you're like in heaven with somebody, your brain is not being like, is this gonna be forever like this? You're just like, I feel like you default maybe believe that at your core, but don't like spin out about it. So may I don't know.
I do. It's funny you say that. When I fall in love and when I'm in love,
It's gonna be like this forever.
I am out of touch with reality. It's both extremes. Yeah.
So there was something like Tony Robbins kind of said some stuff about it at one point.
You like
I'm
him?
I do. Yeah, it's infectious, man. It's like
My realtor, who just made me a lot of money, just came back from a Tony Robbins conference. He like follows him on tour. He loves the guy.
yeah, I don't know if I would go that far to go to one of the sessions, but some of the stuff he said, he like kind of simplifies things very well. And you know, there's something I'll bring up. It's like the six needs of a person: certainty, variety, significance, connection, growth, contributing to others. And so like
Duh.
you're close, right? It's like a duh, right? But he's such a fucking but the certainty of your partner, and also I think like the significance that you feel from them or from your close friends or your family or whatever. And then it's like if they're mad at you or they're dealing with their own bullshit, it's almost like a piece of your identity is threatened, and that's why you get so scared and
Yeah.
anxious about it. So anyway, something
That
I'm
hits
fucking
home.
thinking about.
I was on my drive back from Anchorage yesterday to Seward, which is a 2-hour drive, and my phone battery had died, so I wasn't listening to my audiobook, The Psychology of Money. And I found
Right.
myself in the silence of the road and in this like thick snowstorm where I couldn't see the surrounding beauty. So I had no audio input, no real good visual input. I found myself intensely grieving my last relationship with the person that you met and we had such a wonderful time with. And I think that really, it really rings true for that relationship where there were times where I felt like I'm losing myself and have to turn this off. And there were times simultaneously where this person felt insignificant and I wasn't noticing it. In conclusion, I guess I'll buy a Tony Robbins book.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, whatever, dude. You'll get him on the next one. But there was something else I wanted to say about therapy, bro, but I forget. I'm
Do you feel
not
like
in therapy. Yeah,
you
go
feel
ahead.
like you're done with therapy?
No, oh, this is what I wanted to say. My therapist, like, I moved places and she moved, and but it was the first time I ever had a therapist that treated our relationship like a relationship. It was kind of weird at first. And so I've been thinking, I don't know if you know what I mean, but basically half the time we would talk about my and her relationship. Like she moved appointments and I like got upset, and we would talk about why I was upset about, using the relationship as a conduit for talking about my, behaviors and mental
Yeah.
gymnastics and stuff.
Yeah, you're talking about like transference and the therapeutic alliance. Yeah,
Right.
powerful tools.
And it would fucking piss me off to no end. I'm like, I'm literally paying you right now for us to talk about why I'm
Us.
paying you. Us? Yeah, what the fuck? You're supposed to be helping me in my life, not in the relationship that we are creating right here. Like, what are you doing? And what's funny is, like, I was at, yeah, I had this like realization actually, like, after we had broken up, like 6 months later, she had wanted to have one final session after we determined that we would break up. She wanted to have a session for closure, as if you would with a girlfriend, right? Like meet up
Yeah.
and like at least, have some bookends to it, right? And I was
Yeah.
like, no, like I'm not gonna pay you another fucking $150 or whatever it is what value am I gonna get out of it? And I found myself in this realization at one point, thinking of it as a like longing for that relate, like thinking that I wanted to reach back out and apologize and like try to reestablish it. It's like another relationship. Like you have like a partner, you have family, you have friends, and you have a therapist, and it's like this person that could have been my therapist for 40 years, right? It's like could have been this long-term relationship that I could have worked on. And I like had an inclination to try to work on it, which I then didn't act on. But it's so
Who initiated the breakup?
like she moved and I didn't want to do Zoom, and then I moved, and so it just kind of ended. Honestly,
Wow.
not the first therapist that's broken up with me.
Brutal. That's actually an interesting point. Is here in Alaska, anywhere really, but there's high turnover rates in community mental health. Like, unless you're in private practice, and even then there's turnover, but like a lot of the time things change. You move to a better job, you change, you burn out, whatever it is.
Chinua
Exactly. Things fall apart. And so when I was a child and family therapist, I was working with kids. I'd say 90% of them were their single moms bringing the kid in to process the absence of their dads. At least in part, that was the therapy. And they wanted a strong, consistent male figure to process that with, to have safety around a male. And then I remember leaving that job and having to tell multiple kids, sorry, kid, I gotta go. And just wondering the cascading impacts of another man leaving their lives. And it's the same idea. It's a simulation of a relationship. Except it's not a simulation at all. It's a real relationship that they form
Right. If it's
with
not
your
a
therapist.
simulation, it's its own unique relationship. And if you treat it like that, it's definitely interesting. Yeah, you left 30 kids fatherless.
That's right. Twice, like for a second time.
Just so you could take care of yourself.
Yeah, just so I could buy avalanche backpacks.
Nice nice callback to the previous episode, Josh.
Yeah, inorganic.
Yeah, that's okay. Things Fall Apart made me think about the just make like just things falling out. Like when it's a
There you go.
pile, it's like a pile that fell, like it feels like it fell.
That's Chinua Achebe's sequel that he wrote a couple of years ago.
Things
Shit's a pile.
shit is a pile. Chinua
Achebe,
Achebe. Yeah. Well, what else, Josh? We have seven more minutes.
yeah, I see the counter at the top.
I guess we could
I'm
end
bold.
early, but if you
We
have
could.
something, I like how abrupt it gets when there's a minute left. It just has to end, you know?
Yeah, I actually like that too. The thing that I was going to bring up, I'm not going to bring up because it would totally change the tone of this, and it's not something to do in the last 6 minutes.
All the more reason.
So, what's that?
I said all the more reason, but if you have something else, go ahead.
It was the war, man. I was like, we're two Jewish boys. You just moved from Israel. Your partner was impacted. Huh? Can I? We could talk about that. Like, how much are we gonna talk about that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'll leave it.
Yeah, the war is crazy. Not much more to say on that. Probably a lot more to say.
So much more.
Let's try to cram that into the next 4.5 minutes.
Okay. Well,
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, go ahead.
I can tell you that one reaction that I'm having recently, actually, maybe I shouldn't say this on like as evidence, but I recently invested in some stickers that are very politicized.
Like for use
And
in your messaging.
in my messaging, it's for use, I was going to
Like on
stick them.
WhatsApp? Oh, physical
No,
stickers.
physical stickers that I was going to vandalize certain areas of Alaska with.
Okay.
I'll stop there.
You bought them online?
I bought them from a social media friend. I was like, hey, that's a great sticker. Can I get that? And she sent me like 100 stickers, and now I have to vandalize.
Yeah, when I before I left Israel, I wanted to try to find some fuck Hamas
That's
stickers.
exactly. I got some fuck Hamas. I got some great ones here.
Yeah, fuck Hamas for real. Fuck Bibi, to be honest with you.
Fine.
There's a lot of protesting now. I honestly feel like I would have gone. I didn't normally go to the government protests that were happening last year against Bibi about democracy and what the moves he was doing with the court. People don't even really know about that. I didn't really go because I didn't feel like it was kind of my fight. seemed like something that Israel just needed to figure out. But this thing about the hostage deal and Bibi basically trying to continue the war so that he could stay out of jail, it's very simple. It's very obvious, too. A situation of his own making that he needs to continue so that he can stay out of jail. And everybody on all sides is way too fucking old and needs to be replaced. That's
Agreed.
how I feel.
Why
Fuck
didn't you
them.
felt like Israel had to sort it out and it wasn't your place to go, but you had lived in Israel for what, a decade?
And I'm a citizen.
Right. Why did you feel like it wasn't your place? How does that fit in
It
with the
felt
play?
like something that it's like a it's like a fight
Hey.
between a. Can you
Hey.
spell the word H, like the letter H? How would you spell that?
Yeah, it would be
No, I spell
HEIGH.
no. HEY what?
HEIGH.
Huh. H? No way, dude. It's E H Y C H.
There's definitely a CH at the end. HEIGHCH.
Yeah, this podcast fucking sucks.
Why couldn't you go to the protest? Because you felt imposter syndrome about being an Israeli?
I didn't feel like it. Yes, imposter syndrome about being an Israeli, and also because it was like in a like the people elected this crazy government, and then all these secular Israelis are protesting it. I'm like, yeah, I guess so, man. But the whole country elected it, so it's like this. It was this like fight between the soul for the soul of the country. Is it a secular country? Is it religious extremist? Is it, you know, settler extremists? It was like this whole identity crisis, and I was like, I'm a participant here, and I'm a taxpayer, and I'm representing an Israeli company, and I'm a part of it all. I love being here, but you guys need to figure this shit out, you know?
It's so interesting.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Like, it almost
Because
wasn't my conversation to be in.
you didn't vote him in, you are not a part of the conversation.
It's
But
not just
weren't you there for elections?
yes, I voted. I mean, but the point is that it's like all these secular Israelis that grew up, you know, with this vision of what Israel is, and I have my own kind of vision. Like, I'm like a I don't know what I am really. I'm like a capitalist Israeli. Like, I want the tech sector and the water technology sector to thrive, and I want to export the technology around the world. And Israel become a tourist destination, you know, not that it isn't, but you know, I'm a Tel Aviv guy, not like a Jerusalem holy soul of the country kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that actually encapsulated it in a way where I really understood it concisely.
Yeah, I'm like a Tel Aviv guy, not a Jerusalem guy. So it's
Understood.
funny, like growing up, you get taken on these programs, you know, of Hasbara, of Israel, whatever. And they take you mostly to Jerusalem and to all these like fucking holy sites and stuff like that. And like, it's amazing, the story of the founding of the country. But I'm like a, I don't know, a postmodern capital. None of those words sound necessarily
You're
correct.
a futurist or you're future oriented, whereas those trips are past oriented.
Yeah. Anyway, Josh, love you, man. It's been great. See you next
Love you.
week.
This was a good one.
All right. Bye.
Get naked. Love you. Bye.
Make a pile.